Hey there, and welcome to the Digital Nomad Life Podcast. I'm your host, Krista, also known as Christabella Travels on social media. If you ever have a question or a comment about the podcast or a request for the podcast, or you just want some quick advice, always feel free to slide into my DMs on Instagram, again, at Christabella Travels. I actually love to hear from you. I love to talk to you. I just love to talk. I just am a talker. One of my favorite things about my life today is that I get paid to talk. I literally am talking all the time, which is why I have this episode. And today's episode, what I am talking about is, should you be a digital nomad entrepreneur? Should you get a digital nomad job instead? Should you choose a different route? Like, should you actually just go be an expat or do a service provider sort of situation, or be a freelancer or work in the gig economy? And I'm able to talk about all this stuff with a lot of confidence and a lot of knowledge and a lot of personal experience, because over the past 10 years of my digital nomad journey, I've actually tried all the ways, and not just tried, like I've like gone full send into all the different ways of being a digital nomad. And if you could see me right now, I'm literally sitting on my bedroom floor. Sitting on my bedroom floor with the blanket over the iPhone. And this is how I'm recording the podcast. By the way, I don't sit in a professional studio. That's the behind the scenes of this, which I like people to know that, because I want people to know that things are sometimes easier than they seem, or like they don't have to be as hard as they seem. If you want to have a podcast, literally go sit your ass on the bedroom floor, put that blanket over your phone so that, you know, it creates a little sound barrier, and then it just start talking. Okay, I have totally digressed. The point is, I woke up this morning, like literally like a half hour ago, I woke up being like, this is what I need to talk about today. So I'm going to talk about it. And because I love to talk and I love to talk about myself, I'm going to be sharing with you my story of how I became a digital nomad, weaving in everything that I learned about the different phases of being a digital nomad, or the different like ways to make money online. So I'm not going to go so much into like the fun part and like the emotional wave that I experienced when I first became a digital nomad. But if you want to hear that story, it's actually my far and away most popular episode. Literally the first episode, how I got started as a digital nomad. So go back and listen to that if that is what you want to hear. But okay, we are here to talk about business. We're here to talk about money. We're here to talk about how to make it and which path should you choose. So, okay, we're going to scroll back the clock. We're going to roll all the way back a long time ago to when Krista just started off as a digital nomad. So this was back in 2013, like I said, a long time ago. And I had been living in New York City for a few years, working in a corporate 9-to-5. If you ask me, it was a freaking rat race. I didn't want to keep up with the Joneses. I just wanted to travel. And I was like, I'm so suppressed. I hate this. I am depressed. And I don't understand why everybody else seems to think that this arrangement is fine. It's not fine. So anyway, as fate would have it, I ended up getting let go from that job. And as I was just thrown into a complete state of shame, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, now what am I supposed to do? Because I can't bear to do anything remotely similar to what I was doing. And so even though I actually had a few years of experience at that point, like in marketing, I just was like, I was so burned that I was like, I can't even tap into this experience right now. Like, I was like repulsed by it. So basically, I found myself with virtually no experience and no money, like actually no money. I was living paycheck to paycheck in that job. And I think it's also worth mentioning that my confidence was like nilch. So I took an inventory of my life and I was like, what do I want? Like, what should I do next? Where should I go? I really didn't want to move back to Boston where I was from. I didn't feel like I could afford living in New York City without a job right away. But that's where I wanted to live, and I didn't have any other options at the time. So the very first thing that I started doing was I started tapping into the gig economy. And I was going crazy on websites like Craigslist, yes, TaskRabbit, tapping into my community and just like, you know, literally just finding random jobs. And that actually kept me afloat pretty well for like 8 months, which I was actually shocked by. I mean, also, I think it is worth mentioning, I was also getting unemployment at the time, but unemployment was absolutely not enough to survive in New York City. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get this until I figure out what I'm going to do next. But in the meantime, I need to freaking survive. So that's when I was just picking up a lot of random jobs. And yeah, then all of a sudden I had like more money than I had when I was in my other job. And I remember walking around, I think it was like, I was walking around Central Park on a Tuesday and it was a beautiful sunny day. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing all these other people that are like having picnics and stuff. And I'm like, it's a freaking Tuesday. Like, don't you guys have to go to work? Like, what is happening? Like, who are these people? And that was a huge light bulb moment for me because I was like, oh, like there is another way. Like, there's another way to make money. Interesting. Maybe I don't have to go back to a 9-to-5. Because for me, the gig economy type situation was really just a way for me to buy some time until I figured out my next established career move. Because it's always been so, so, so important to me to have a career that I felt proud of. Anyway, when I had this big light bulb moment, right around the same week, one of my friends was talking about how they just, oh, she had just quit her job at like Abercrombie or something. And the two of them actually, both of them quit their jobs. They were both working at Abercrombie and they were like, we just quit our jobs. Woohoo. Like, fuck Abercrombie. What are we going to do? Oh, we want to travel. Like, we want to go backpacking. Krista, do you want to come? Like, you don't have a job. And I was like, oh my God, immediately yes, I want to go traveling, huge fuck yes, I will do anything to make this happen. I feel like I just really needed someone to plant that seed in my mind, so it was two seeds, right? The ability that I could do something else other than a corporate 9-to-5 and still wear respectable clothes. Yeah, I don't know, because that was the indication that these people were doing something normal, and also that I could travel, and so yeah, I just literally like, I feel like my world expanded 10 sizes in that moment. And I just started doing all this research about how I could go backpacking. And then I was hit with the harsh reality of, bitch, you still have no money. You still have no money. Like, even though I was making more money than I was making when I was in my corporate job with all the gigs and stuff, I wasn't rolling in it. I still needed to pay my rent every single month, which was really high. It was like 70% of, I don't know how much of it was. It was a lot. For such a shoebox size apartment. Oh my God. LOL. Anyway, the point is now my research switched to how can I make any money while backpacking? And remember, this is 2013. There was not really Instagram at the time and there weren't travel influencers. Like, that wasn't even a thing. And I just was poring over blogs. I was just reading blog after blog after blog after blog about people talking about their travels. And eventually I discovered the concept of teaching English in Thailand. I had never heard of that before. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like, I could, because you can teach English anywhere. You can teach English in a lot of places, but Thailand specifically for me just like trumped a lot of other countries. It also was in a destination that I really wanted to be in. I thought, oh, Southeast Asia. I was very drawn to Southeast Asia. Funny little foreshadowing. I've literally been living in Bali for the past 4 years now. But yeah, so I guess my soul, my spirit was like very drawn to this part of the world. And they were saying that as long as you spoke native English, then you could get a job teaching English. And if you had a college degree, which I did, you could even make like a little bit more money. And it was totally enough to survive and also like have a fun life over there. So to me, I was like, this is a full fuck yes. This is what I'm doing. My friends ended up being actually not so sincere about them wanting to go travel. And they both literally ended up getting their jobs back at Abercrombie again. And they were like, no, we're going to stay in New York City. And I was like, all right, well, I don't really have another option at this point. So I'm going to go. That's when I booked my first one-way plane ticket to Thailand. And yeah, I went there to teach English. Okay, so now I've got to pause and share about like the qualities of the person that could do the gig economy versus doing the teaching English thing. So with the gig economy, I think I was able to have success with the gig economy because I just had time and I was scared about not having money. So I was obsessed with applying to jobs. And I'm also very good at writing cover letters. Like I know how to be a persuasive speaker and a persuasive writer, and I'm creative in my writing. And I have great grammar and I know how to sell myself in a way that is appealing to the person reading the letter. If you ever write a cover letter, promise me one thing, you will never, ever, ever, ever say that the reason why you want that job is because you need money, because you want to work remotely, because you like the company. Ew. That is literally the biggest turnoff for a company ever. Never freaking do that. Never do that. Never, ever, ever. You always, always, always say, here's how I can benefit you. This is how my personality is. This is what my experience is. And this is how my personality and my experience can benefit you. You are selling yourself in every single cover letter. And you need to write a cover letter for every single gig. But I was living in New York City, right? And there's just like an abundance of gigs. I worked at different trade shows. I worked at a lot of events. I babysat. I did like some social media stuff. I was a sales assistant. So yeah, I just like tried a lot of different things and I just had like 20 different cover letters for all these different kinds of things and I would tweak them. So the quality, I guess, is that you need to be fucking obsessed. You need to be fucking obsessed if you want to have success in the gig economy. Even if you are obsessed, it's really not sustainable and I don't necessarily recommend it. But hey, if you're in a tight spot, then, you know, it is absolutely possible to just make a bunch of money quickly without having lots of experience because people that are hiring for gigs like needs help right now. So they're looking for you and they don't have time to be researching other options. If your cover letter and your resume or your pitch, whatever comes through and they like it, they're just going to hire you. They're not going to be looking through lots of other competition. So if you're in the gig economy, you don't have to be so worried about competition is the good news. Okay, so now we're gonna flash forward and go to Thailand. Okay, so I'm in Thailand and I'm like, okay, cool, teaching English, great. Turns out there's a lot of different ways that you can teach English. You can teach in a school, you can be a private tutor, you can be in a Thai school, you can be in a Western school. You can teach children, you can teach teenagers, you can teach adults. And if you teach adults, you're probably teaching them in a center. So as I like boiled all that down, what I concluded after going through my TEFL, T-E-F-L, that's what it's called, the Teaching English as a Foreign Language. There's other certifications too, like a TOEFL, I forget what that stands for. But anyway, if you want to go teach English abroad, you are going to need to get some kind of certification like that. So I got my TEFL, which was actually a super cool experience, although traumatizing for me, standing in front of a Thai classroom with all of these like literally 8-year-olds screaming at me in another language and like throwing paper airplanes and picking gum out of each other's hair. And I'm just standing there being like, class, literally with like sweat stains all over my shirt. I'll never forget that moment. The trauma. I didn't like it, but all my friends taught English. So when I was there, and some people love it. So if you like love kids and if you are, or if you're like able to raise your voice and like play the hard ass teacher, I couldn't do either of those things. So it just wasn't for me. So then I thought, oh, maybe I'll teach English to adults. And actually, I would have done that. I would have done that in Thailand. But because I got there and I still didn't have any money, which side note, if you ever listened to my first episode, you know that I actually sold all of my stuff in New York before I booked my plane ticket because I needed the money. I sold my bed. I sold my dresser. I sold a bunch of clothes. I sold electronics. I just got money in any way that I could so that I could have the maximum amount of money to go to Thailand with and invest in my TEFL and the plane ticket and my first few months of living. By the time I paid for my TEFL and the plane ticket, I had like $3,000 to my name. So when I got to Thailand, I needed to start making money right away. It was literally on the other side of the planet with no return ticket. So I needed to survive. So I was doing the gig economy thing in Thailand. And turns out there's Craigslist in Thailand and there's other platforms like Facebook groups and things like that. So I got a couple gigs in Thailand and one of them that I applied for, I actually thought that it was like a blogging position. I went to go meet the guy like at a Starbucks or something to talk about the job because it was I knew that it was more of like a long-term thing. And when I met the guy, this German guy, Martin, he was like, oh, Krista, you have like marketing experience in New York City. like, you just want to do this blogging thing? Did you know we also have this marketing manager position open? And I was like, what? No, I didn't know. And literally, I got hired on the spot for this marketing job. So amazing. Best moment ever. I was so fucking excited. And people say that it's luck. I say that I manifested it. And also, when I say I manifested it, I took the action to be able to manifest a great job in Thailand. Like, I booked the one-way plane ticket and I got on that fucking plane. I sold all my stuff. I took all the divine action in order to be there. So when people say that it was luck that I got that job, oh my God, I just wanted to splash a drink in their face. I was like, you don't even know the crazy times that I've been through over the past 8 months. So don't you dare take that away from me. Also, it was lucky that I got this particular situation. Like, I didn't even, it just fell into my lap. So that's how I became an expat in Thailand with a full-time job. And that job was really cool. Actually, it was my favorite job to date. I don't need to go so into like what I was doing there, but it was just a great job. Felt very respected by my colleagues, and it was very cool. It was so interesting to be so integrated into a Thai culture, because half of my coworkers were Western, but the other half were Thai. And, you know, the people that I sat next to every single day were Thai. And I just, yeah, got like a really beautiful up close look at Thai culture. And that was very enriching for me. And I think if you are like fascinated by a specific culture in the world, like, let's say your one goal is to move to Spain because you just love Spanish culture, I would actually recommend like trying to get a job while you are there, because it's a lot on your nervous system to just like completely change your life. So what was cool about having a job like that abroad in Thailand was my routine was relatively uninterrupted from when I was in New York City. Like, I still woke up at 7 a.m. and then I got ready and then I took the train to work and then I walked into my office building. I had lunch hour and then I went back. I went to the gym and then I went home, maybe a happy hour after work, whatever. So like, that was cool. And I really enjoyed working so closely with Thai people. But here's the thing. I am someone who's always really valued freedom. That was my main goal always with all of this. And I wanted to travel. Like, I didn't move to Thailand because specifically I wanted to be immersed in Thai culture. I didn't know anything about Thai culture. I wanted to be in Southeast Asia. I wanted to travel and explore. So I did get to I went to Vietnam a couple of times. I went to Cambodia. I went to Singapore, Hong Kong, all while I was living in Thailand. But when all these disasters happened back home, like, it was after a year or so after I was living there, there was a huge fire at my house, like back in Boston. And this fire ended up being the catalyst to my parents' separation that ultimately led to their divorce. Meanwhile, two of my aunts died, one very, very tragically. And it just was like, there was just a lot of really heavy things that were happening back home. And that's when I realized that, you know what? It doesn't matter how much I love this job, I still am not having the amount of freedom that I need, because I actually can't go home right now. Like, I can't just hop on a plane and go see my family, which I was desperately trying to do. In all of my years of living abroad, this was the only time I genuinely felt homesick, because in every other situation, I've always been able to go home if I wanted to. Like right now, you know, I miss my mom and my family and stuff, but I know that if I wanted to, if I like really miss them, I could just hop on a plane and go home. And then I'm like, do I really want to do that? And I'm like, no. And then somehow that dissipates the homesickness. But anyway, back in this Thailand story, I didn't have the ability to do that. So that was when I felt homesick, because I just was like, I was like heartsick, you know? Anyway, that was the beginning of the end. I just realized that living there wasn't sustainable for me, and that I had to go. Okay, so now we are entering into chapter 3 of my nomad life. So when I went back home, I immediately tapped into the gig economy again. That's always kind of been my fallback. Although this time in a little bit of an elevated way, I would say I'm freelancing because I had all this great experience working at that company in Thailand and just more confidence in myself and my abilities than ever. I was like, okay, instead of doing just like random gigs, why don't I try to get random jobs? And so that's when I started freelancing as a marketer. So when you are freelancing as a marketer, the qualities that you need, you really do need to be able to be talking to people often and talking about what you do. For the vast majority of freelancers, like over the years, I always ask freelancers, where do you get your clients from? And they all say consistently, and I've met thousands of freelancers at this point, they all get 70% of their clientele through word of mouth or referrals. So if you want to kickstart your freelancer journey, you have to be telling people what you do. You have to tell people, I'm a freelance writer. I'm a freelance marketer. I'm a freelance social media manager. For me, I think because I had more confidence, I felt very able to present myself that way. Whereas before, when I was just doing the gig economy stuff in New York, I didn't feel confident, and therefore I just had to pick up random gigs. And anyway, this is like a mindset thing that I coach my clients through, which is that when you first start off your journey doing whatever your new remote career is, you really have to embody that you are this thing. Because if you don't embody it, no one else is going to find out what you do. Like when you're at a cocktail party, people say, oh, what do you do? I wasn't going to say I'm fun employed right now. I was going to say I'm a freelance writer. Even if I didn't have freelance writing clients, I had to say that because that's how you get clients. You start putting the word out there. People start noticing you for that thing. And then when you say, I am this, nobody's going to question that. People aren't going to say, oh, really? Like, how many clients do you have? And even if I did respond with, I'm not actually working with anybody right now, which was the truth it for some moments in time, like, who the hell is that person to tell me that I'm not something that I say that I am? Like, you can still be a freelance writer without having any active clients. So just get it out of your head that that's a scary thing to do. If you want to go into being a freelancer, just really, like, my biggest advice is start embodying that you are that thing. So yeah, what I was saying was I was a freelance writer and marketer, and those are the kind of jobs that I was getting. And it was easy enough for me to say those things because anybody that had been following me on social media over the past couple of years knew that I was making money in Thailand, and I would tell them what I did. So basically my whole network knew that I was a marketer and a writer. And then when I came home, anybody that had a job was like, oh, great, you're back. Like, I need a freelance marketer. I need a freelance writer. And then they would hire me. So yeah, I was freelance marketing and writing for a few months, really wanting to fit back into Boston. Then I was like, okay, it's a hard no for me. Like, I never resonated with living in Boston. So maybe I'll try New York again. So I went back to New York and I spent a few months there. You know, freelancing always felt very unsafe and unstable to me. I really value having consistent income personally. So I always felt like gig economy / freelancing to me was the temporary solution. Like, I still really wanted a job at that point. Like, I wanted someone to employ me. I wanted someone to give me safety. I wanted someone to give me benefits, and I wanted a place to call home. So basically I was applying for all these jobs in New York City, and I just remember being like, fuck, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to be in New York City either. Like, I do not want to go back to that commute. I do not want to go back to possibly surrounding myself with coworkers who are not worldly, who are not interesting, like, who are just boring people that I just, like, don't relate to. And I just really was, like, very repelled by that. So then I was like, all right, well, maybe I can be a freelancer for a little bit longer, or maybe I should apply to some more jobs in other countries. So actually there was this job that I was about to take in Malta at a marketing agency. A girl that I met while I was traveling was living there and told me about it. And yeah, she like got me in touch with this agency in Malta, and I actually got accepted for this job, and I almost moved to Malta. But then this crazy thing happened. This crazy thing where I was on a 2-week trip to Costa Rica, and one of my freelance marketing clients, or freelance writing clients, we had a similar conversation to the one that I had with Martin in the Starbucks back in Bangkok a couple of years ago. So I'm talking to Todd, is his name, my old boss, Todd, who I was doing the marketing writing for. he was like, hey, Krista, so, you know, we've been working together for a few months. We really like your work. And this new role just opened up at our tech startup. It was an app. Do you want the job? Like, it would be a full-time marketing position. So we don't want you to have other clients. We don't want you to take that job in Malta, because he knew about it. And he was like, we want to hire you. And I was in Costa Rica at the time. Like I said, I thought I'd be there for 2 weeks. And I'm sitting by the pool having this conversation. And I'm like, what? What? And then I was like, well, but like, I'm in Costa Rica right now. Like, I wouldn't be able to start for a couple weeks. And he's like, no, the job's remote. Like, I don't care if you're in Boston or if you're in New York. You could go back to Thailand if you want. Like, it literally doesn't matter. Like, you just, as long as you are online and you need to be online and you have good Wi-Fi, then that's fine for us. And I'm like, what? I could just stay here? And then I was like, oh my God, fuck yeah. Like, so I accepted the job, immediately had this full-time remote job, and I was already in Costa Rica. By the way, I had never heard of the term digital nomad. I'd never heard about it. So I just was like, I'm a traveling remote worker. And I canceled my return ticket to back to Boston. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay in Costa Rica. So I extended my trip in Costa Rica. My friend went back to New York and then I stayed there. And then I checked myself into a hostel. And then I met all these people at the hostel and they were like, hey, we're going to Nicaragua tomorrow. There's this big Sunday fun day party. Do you want to come? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. So then I hopped in a bus and I went to Nicaragua. And that is the beginning of my nomad journey. And I think a couple months later, I realized that I was a digital nomad and that there were some other people who also were nomads out there, but like not that many. And yeah, I just started sharing about my nomad life on social media because I had all these people being like, wait, we thought you were coming back to New York. Wait, we thought you were coming back to Boston. Wait, you were in Thailand. Now you're in South America. Like, what's happening? Did you win the lottery? Do you have a trust fund? And all these people just being like, God, like in disbelief that I was making money. I was like, you people don't understand how broke I have been for the past several years. Like, that is first of all rude. And second, like, no, like, come be a digital nomad with me. I really was like, okay, this is amazing. And I don't know anybody else that's doing this. Like, I traveled solo for the first year of my nomad journey. And I stayed in hostels because I am a social person and I wanted to meet people. But it gets old staying in hostels, especially when you have a remote 9-to-5. But I did it anyway, but I really wanted to recruit other people into the lifestyle, which is why, and I still do, which is why I have this podcast. But I just, yeah, that's why I started sharing about my life on Instagram and I started growing an audience. Okay, so now we're looking at like 2017, 2018 is when I really started taking Instagram seriously and I started getting brand deals. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, should I just be a travel influencer? So yeah, I started trying to do the travel influencer thing on the side. Like I said, I really started taking Instagram seriously. If you scroll back, like my photos are so pretty from 2018. Now I just don't care as much anymore. But yeah, I like invested in a nice camera and I just went all in on it. And I did work with some brands, but here was the thing for me that was tough about being a content creator that was making money with brand deals. Also, I still had my remote job, by the way. Having a remote job is great if you have experience doing something and then you can get a job where you are providing a lot of value to the company. Okay, I'm like talking about three things at the same time. I'll come back to the remote job because I want to stay in the content creator thing. Okay, so the challenge for me with making money as a content creator that did brand deals was that another one of my huge values is integrity. I'm someone that does what I say that I'm going to do, and I only say that I'm going to do things if I actually am going to do them, and I only talk about things that I really believe in. I am like very scared of lying, so I would never, ever, ever promote a product or a destination or anything like that to my audience if I couldn't fully stand behind it. So, you know, when I was traveling, it was hard to like receive items and packages, and I didn't want to talk about anything that I didn't actually use in my real life. So it just limited my options significantly with brand deals. And what I realized too is that travel influencers, like actually for a lot of them, they are pretty broke. They're just staying in 5-star hotels and they're staying in the hotel for free. But like outside of the hotel, they are dead broke and they don't have money to like go up into the top of the Eiffel Tower, or they don't have money to do all the amazing touristy things in the city. They just actually only have money for the hotel because they're not making money. They're just collaborating. So I think I became kind of like disillusioned with the content creator thing. And I was like, okay, this is not what I want to do because I don't want to be unethical or untruthful. And I also don't want to have a mailbox that I have to go back to constantly. So I was like, okay, not content creator. But look, if you are a super creative person, a photographer, a fashion girly or whatever, like you have a specific niche that you just really love talking about and love making content on, I would say still go for it, because there are ultimately lots of other ways that you can monetize an audience, which I will talk about in a little bit. But I would say, like, no matter what, having an audience is always incredibly valuable, whether you're doing brand deals or not. So don't take this story as discouragement for not being a content creator. Definitely still do it, but maybe don't expect to be rolling in the dough right away from it. Then again, I don't know, because I don't have millions of followers, right? But some people do. So if you're like really funny, or you have a cute significant other, or just like a really creative idea, I encourage you to just really explore content creation regardless. It's just, yeah, so valuable. Okay, now I want to go back to talking about what I learned from this remote job that I had and how you can apply these lessons to decide, should you get a remote job or should you build your own business and be an entrepreneur? So the thing about having a remote job, for me, that job was a really amazing situation. I was making a really good, healthy salary. I think when I started, I was making like 50 something K. And then by the end, I was making 70. So great. 70K is a great amount of money to be traveling the world with. Like, I think that's, my take home was about $4,000 a month. So yeah, I was able to stay in decent Airbnbs. I was able to spend $1,000 on a plane ticket once every few months. And I still had some wiggle room to be, you know, buying what I needed to buy and experiencing what I needed to experience and putting a little bit of money into my savings every month. So things were great with the remote job, and I did have benefits. Like I had a 401k and it was all good. And there's that feeling of safety there, right? But with safety, you do actually make some sacrifices. So for me, I had to be online during certain hours, which was cool for the first few years, but I was limited to the Western Hemisphere. I know you might be thinking that doesn't sound limiting. And that's what I thought too at first. But when you get more and more into the nomad community and nomad scene, well, there's a lot of amazing stuff in Southeast Asia. Like I said, I've been living here for 4 years in Bali, and just there's nowhere else in the world that I would rather live. So, you know, for me, like I started feeling like that remote job, I wasn't getting the full freedom that I wanted, because I literally was like not able to go to an entire hemisphere because of the time difference. Not only that, I still had to ask for vacation. So when you're like, you know, in an amazing destination, like I went to South Africa for a while, and that's a great place to be a digital nomad, by the way. But then near it is Namibia, and you probably don't want to be working while you're road tripping through Namibia. So I had to take that as vacation time, but that was like my whole vacation time for the year. And then it's like, okay, you're living and working abroad, but like, you know, you need days off sometimes to take a flight or whatever. Like you can't always be traveling on the weekends. So I think I just started feeling like, okay, this is actually more limiting than I thought for the lifestyle. And for me, like actually the real thing that ultimately was my kick out of there was that I just felt so uninspired by this job. The job was, it was like a good job. Right. It was fine. I didn't hate what I was doing. I wasn't like, I don't know. I can't say I wasn't totally uninspired. By the end, I was totally uninspired. And I was around all these really inspiring people. I was around all these people that also chose a life of freedom, that also chose to follow their own authenticity. And I just was starting to really feel like I was kind of like a cop out or like a sellout or something, that I was taking really the easy path in life, which it's just not aligned with my values, right? Like I want to have a big life. I've always wanted to have a big life, a big, splashy, sparkly, wild life where I can do whatever the hell I want and I can make as much money as I want and I can have adventures and freedom and just not follow the rules, not have any rules and just be me. Like that is what I always wanted. Like my soul has always craved that so much. So yeah, while at first I did feel like that with my remote job, ultimately in the end, I actually felt just as suppressed as I did when I was living in New York City. And that was when I knew I needed to create my own business. So you might want a remote job. Anyway, you might still want one, even though I just shared that whole story with you. And it's not that I would encourage you not to. Like, I think if you're at the beginning of your nomad journey, great. But the things that I wanted to share about getting a remote job and like, can you just get one, you know, and what opportunities are out there. So in my program, where I help people create remote businesses. My program, by the way, is called the Digital Nomad Life Academy. It's a year-long program where you can join anytime if you want. You can also purchase a career assessment call with me where I will help you figure out what is the best remote business for your personality. I have a whole other episode on how the career assessment process works if you want to go listen to that. It is episode 33, and I actually really encourage you to listen to that if you are someone who feels pretty stuck, because I can very, very easily help you become unstuck with like an hour-long conversation. So just saying, go check it out. Episode 33. So yeah, in my program, I help people build remote businesses. And one thing that comes up all the time is people get fearful of competition. They're like, oh, there's so many other people who are virtual assistants or other people who are freelance writers or so many other people who are more experienced than me doing this kind of coaching or consulting or whatever. And the thing is, when you work for yourself, you really have the ability to differentiate yourself in the market, even though it feels like there's more competition because people generally are more visible when they have their own business. Like they're on social media, they have a brand out there somewhere, they have a website. Think about all the people that you're competing with applying for a remote job that you don't need experience in. Imagine all the people sitting on their couch right now wishing that they had a remote job. Those people are your competition when you're applying for a remote job without having any kind of specific experience. So I got my remote job very easily, but I also had amazing experience at that point. And I knew how to write a kick-ass cover letter. And it was right place, right time. Like I was able to actually go meet my boss in New York City because I happened to be there. And just there were a lot of things working in my favor when I got a remote job. So when other people ask me like, oh, should I just get a remote job? Because like your job seems pretty cool. I need to emphasize that my remote job was literally a diamond in the rough, like a needle in the haystack. If you are someone that is listening to this and you have great experience, like if you have professional experience marketing or engineering or something with software or web design or whatever, designing. Yeah, like maybe there is a great remote job out there for you. And there are lots of job boards that are specifically for remote jobs. But if you don't have specific experience and you don't know exactly what kind of job you want, if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I would love a remote job. I want some company to take care of me. But like, what would I do? If you're asking yourself, what would I do? I very much encourage you to choose the entrepreneur route rather than trying to find a remote job, because you are competing with a fuck ton of people when you are going after a remote job that you don't have specific experience for. Like any kind of entry-level remote job, everybody wants that. Like everybody on the fucking planet wants that. Everybody on the planet wants the kind of job that I had, where it's this unicorn situation where you get to just like actually be fully remote and have the blessing of your employers with that and get paid 70K. Like this was a very rare and amazing situation. So I'm not saying that there aren't more out there, but just like you're really going to have to look for them. And personally, as I said earlier, like I think with the job search, you really do need to be obsessed, and it is a full-time job looking for a job. So if you have a job and that's how you're spending your free time, just like blasting out cover letters, I just feel like that's a really fast way to burn out and ultimately might get you nowhere. And you really don't want to be burnt out before you decide to become an entrepreneur. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about the last and, to me, the best way to be a digital nomad, the way that checks all the boxes, the way that actually unlocks all of your potential in the world, like all your potential as a human, like the way that I just described my soul, like I want to have a big life, like a sparkly life, a splashy life where there's big parties and travel and adventure and interesting humans and great deep conversations under the stars and picnics in the park on a Tuesday and a fat bank account and just like, I want all of that. I want all of that. And I think the thing is, I want all of that and I go fucking get it for myself. So you can do that too. I'm not like super smart. I don't have some kind of crazy experience. I didn't come from a rich background. Like you guys heard my story. Like I started with $3,000 in my pocket on the other side of the planet. Like that's what I started with, surviving off of gigs and unemployment. So I think if I can do it, you can do it. You just need to believe that you can have what you want, that you're worthy of having what you want, and then you need to actually take some serious action and go fucking get it. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, now it doesn't actually matter if you don't have experience. For me, the way that I think is the absolute best way to get started as a digital nomad entrepreneur is not to choose something like the, you know, falling for the whole passive income bullshit myth. I'm not saying that it's bullshit to have passive income, but the runway to create it for yourself is very, very long and slow. When you want to go into passive income, like let's say you want to sell digital products or something like that, and you want to just be able to like wake up to a $6,000 payment, you are going to need to be either creating a ton of content promoting that specific thing, or you need to create a very dynamic digital funnel, which I'm not going to explain what that is, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to build a digital funnel. I've been building mine for the past 3 years. Or you need to spend a lot of money on advertising so that you can drive a lot of traffic to your website. But then if you're spending a lot of money on ads, now all that you're looking at is not just the profit margin of the product itself, but also the profit minus your ad spend. You need to have a lot of money to scale something like that. So the passive income thing genuinely is a myth, unfortunately, at least in the terms of you could have this kind of income within a few months. In the very, very, very rare circumstance, that could be true. But for the most part, that's actually just a load of bullshit. And it really upsets me when I see people saying things like that online. So the one way that you actually could be making like a 10K month within a few months is if you have a small service provider business. And what that means is you are offering some kind of service that you can offer. So that service is something that you do for a person. You could coach them. You could consult them. You could write for them. You could market for them. You could build something or design something for them. So whatever that service is that you're doing for them, if you can charge a lot of money for it, because of the way that you branded yourself, because of the way that you command authority in the thing that you're doing. If you really understand some key marketing principles about offering value to a very specific kind of person, then you absolutely can come up with a quote, high ticket offer that a specific kind of person will want to buy. And when you have a high ticket offer, you don't need that many buyers. So you don't need a big marketing machine. And that's how I have been able to coach my clients from going from having zero experience, like actually zero experience, fresh out of high school or coming from the construction field or nursing or even being a waitress, to making $5,000 months within a few months. Like that actually is possible with this specific business model. And the reason why not everybody's doing it is because it's a challenge for your brain. Like, not that you have to be super smart. You just need to be really self-assured. You need to be able to not freak out when you are worried about competition. You need to stay calm when you get on your first sales call. You need to know what to do after that sales call. Like, there's a lot of nuanced things and also a lot of personality traits that you're going to need to develop or enhance when you choose this model. And that's why coaching is really the thing that takes people across the finish line. And when I say finish line, I mean, it's actually just like the starting line. Like when you get your first client, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of your nomad journey. So my role as a digital nomad coach is to help people, one, come up with their small service provider business idea, and then help them get through the jungle chaos of their mind to go from not having any experience to developing some experience online within just a few months. And I have a very specific way that I teach how to do this that makes it not overwhelming. And then I teach you how to brand yourself online. And no, you don't need to be blasting your face all over social media. There's so many ways to brand and market yourself. I really believe in a holistic approach where, you know, you choose a marketing method that's aligned with who you are as a person, not with just like, this is the best way to make $10,000. I just can't stand it. I feel like I rant about that phrase in every single episode, but I just feel like it's misleading to people. And I just want people to have realistic expectations for when they're embarking on this journey, because this journey is so freaking amazing. Like, so many amazing things happen in life when you choose an entrepreneurship path. But the thing is, it's not easy. But it is possible. By the way, I also have a whole episode, I think it's number 18, on how not to fail as a digital nomad. So I really encourage you to listen to that too if you're wondering, like, okay, is this actually for me? Should I take this path? So I just want to real quick talk about, like, what are some qualities of people that make them successful? And if you feel that you have these qualities, then I just, again, I really, really, really encourage you to take this path and to freaking go for it. So one of the qualities is, of course, that you are a highly motivated person. And you don't need to have been highly motivated in every other area of your life. You don't need to have that, like, be your personality trait. You just need to be a highly motivated person to actually have this very specific outcome of being a digital nomad or of making money online in some kind of way. So one of the first exercises that I always give my clients is finding out, what is your why? Why are you doing this? For me, my why was that I wanted more people to have this lifestyle. Personally, I felt like I was traveling all around the world and I was living my best life, but I was kind of lonely and I just wanted to share it with people. And so I really embodied this in my business where I was like, you know what? The work that I am doing is meaningful and the work that I am doing matters. And so on those days when I feel like giving up, I come back to my why and I'm like, no, there are other people out there who want the same lifestyle as I do and they just don't know how to get it. They don't know what I know. And therefore, I owe it to the people to get better at marketing. And also I owe it to myself, because how am I going to have friends? How am I going to have a community if other people aren't living this lifestyle because they simply don't know how? So your why is kind of twofold. You're definitely going to want to think about, why do you want to have this lifestyle for you personally? And also, why will you being an entrepreneur ultimately benefit the world in some way? I really believe in heart-centered entrepreneurship, where you are creating a business to contribute to the world, to contribute to society, to become the best version of yourself. Because when you're the best version of yourself, other people are affected by that. And then a ripple effect is created. And literally just by you becoming the best version of yourself, you are, in a way, healing the world. So maybe that's your reason for becoming an entrepreneur. It's definitely one of mine. And I also want you to think about the amount of money that you want to make. So one thing that actually really does help people have success in their entrepreneurial journey is also the quality of being at least somewhat money-driven. And I just made a whole episode on money mindset. So I really encourage you to listen to that if you are suddenly having like a physical reaction where you're like, oh no, like I don't need to make that much money or I don't want to make that much money. Wrong. Yes, you do. You just don't know it yet. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to feel abundant. Feeling abundant, by the way, is your freaking birthright. And there is nothing not spiritual about being rich. This is a really hard, like, slap me in my face lesson that my very first business coach gave me that just rocked me and literally changed, like, so much about the way that I think about business and the way that I show up in it. But, like, you need to be motivated to make money if you want to have success in your business. Otherwise, you're probably going to end up sabotaging your price points, not setting big enough goals, not caring enough to market your business properly. So if you walk away from this podcast with one assignment, it is to improve your money mindset and make sure that you start becoming okay with the fact that it's okay to want to make a lot of money. And I hope that you want to make a lot of money. I hope that you are someone who dreams big. I hope that you are someone that knows that if you do make a lot of money, that doesn't make you evil. It doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you wrong. It doesn't make you not spiritual. It just makes you a human who's here on this plane wanting to relish in all the human elements of this experience. And money is one of those things. Anyway, I don't want to talk too long about this because I just spent a whole hour talking about it on my last week's episode. So yeah, go listen to that one too. Anyway, now I've covered knowing your personal why of why you want to create this business for yourself, why you want to give this business to the world, why you want to make a lot of money. So having all of those motivations are really good. And also you need to be disciplined. That is another key element to your entrepreneurial journey that will help ensure your success. So again, you don't need to have been a disciplined person in all other areas of your life. To me, discipline is just you have decided once and for all that this is the path that you're going in and you're going to keep showing the fuck up for it no matter what. Because if you are not so committed to showing up for it, there's no way that you can be disciplined. But discipline is so necessary when you are working for yourself because, you know, you're going to have to start making your own schedule, right? We say, oh, I want to be in charge of my own time. But then all of a sudden, when you have to be in charge of your own time, like it's kind of a lot of responsibility and you need to show up for yourself. You need to be disciplined in order to, you know, stay on top of your calendar. You need to be disciplined to, for example, if you're in the Digital Nomad Life Academy, coming to the DNLA calls, even though you might want to go to bed early or you might want to go out having a party on a Friday night. But if you have shit to do, you need to be able to be disciplined enough in order to say no to those other things. I mean, I guess it's about being able to make sacrifices, but I do hate to say sacrifice because to me, that's alluding to the fact that like, when you're an entrepreneur, you don't get to have it all. For me, being an entrepreneur means you get to have it all. It's like you get to have it all and then some. But sometimes you do need to make decisions and sometimes you need to choose your business over other things so that ultimately you can have everything that you ever wanted. I think that's another quality of discipline too, is being focused on your long-term goals more so than your short-term gains. Like a short-term gain might be going out with your friends on a Friday night when you're really working towards something big, and that Friday night could directly contribute to you having more success in your business. For me, I don't think that I was actually a very disciplined person before I became an entrepreneur. So don't worry if you're not identifying or vibing with the quality of being disciplined. You will find the discipline if you just really fucking want it. And I think that's actually the final quality that I want to share is just, do you want it? Do you really, really want it? And I don't think that you listened to this whole episode if you didn't really want it. So the thing is, what you actually need to do is get real with yourself on what's holding you back from allowing yourself to be fully expressed in the desire of wanting it. Like, I need you to look at, where do you think that you're not measuring up? Where do you think that you're not capable? Where are you scared of failure? Where are you scared of rejection? Where are you scared of speaking your truth? Where are you scared of being authentic? If you can look at all those things and allow those fears to be there as just, you know, part of your human experience, as part of the entrepreneur experience for sure, you'll be able to just be with them and allow yourself to say, yeah, even though all of these things are here and present with me now, I just really want this lifestyle. Because again, I know that you really want this lifestyle. That's why you're listening to this podcast. But the reason why you don't have it yet is probably because of some of those fears. So just figure out what those fears are. Be with them and then be unapologetic about how fucking bad you want this lifestyle. And then that's when you come to me, right? When you finally have come to a point where you're like, I just want it so bad. I'm ready to go the distance. I'm ready to step into being a disciplined person. I'm ready to identify a business that actually lights me up, that makes me feel excited, that makes me feel like I'm contributing to the world. I'm ready to just take ownership of my life. When you have all those qualities, come to me and I will help you get started because As you heard earlier, you are going to be provided with everything that you actually need in order to make an absolutely 180 unrecognizable shift in your life when you join the Digital Nomad Life Academy and when you go all in on your digital nomad dreams. So that's why I've created my business the way that I have. It's also why inside of the Digital Nomad Life Academy, there's an amazing community. Like, we do live calls multiple times a week where you can meet me or the other awesome guest coaches. We do networking events where you can meet the other people in the program so that when you are operating in your life, trying to do something that's really different than other people, like when you're trying to create a lifestyle that's not conventional, one that allows you to have complete freedom and money, you know, for the most part, like, regular people are going to not believe that it's possible and they're going to criticize you and try to take down your dreams. So you need to have other people around you because you are the sum of the people that you spend the most time with. You need to have other people that you have access to that can share dreams with you, that can resonate with you, that can relate to you. So I really emphasize that in the Digital Nomad Life Academy community as well. And those are just some things that you have in store for you when you join. So if you're curious about joining, you can always go check out the sales page. But what I actually recommend is just sliding into my DMs on Instagram at Christabella Travels and send me the words Jobs Podcast. It has to be just like that. Jobs Podcast. If you send me those exact keywords at Christabella Travels, I will reply with an automated message, right? The automated message is going to say, hey, hear that you saw my podcast or listen to my podcast and tell me about yourself and tell me this, tell me that. And I'll ask you a series of questions. So if you answer the questions, I will be able to engage in a conversation with you. If you just say, I want to be a digital nomad, teach me how, I'm going to be like, why are you wasting my freaking time? I just spent an hour teaching you how. So like, tell me about yourself now. This is an exchange, right? That's what a conversation is. And if we talk and I feel like you are a good fit for the community, for the academy, I will hook you up with a discount and I'll just like make it really easy for you to say a full hell yes, because I want the right people in this community because there's so much live conversations that are happening. It's really important that like the right people are in it. So that's why I just encourage you to send me a DM on Instagram, like I said, at Christabella Travels. Tell me that you listen to this podcast with the keywords Jobs Podcast. And let's talk about, should you have a remote job or go be an entrepreneur or do the gig economy or be a content creator or whatever. There's just so many ways to make money online. It's just silly how many ways there are. But as you have now heard, I have really experimented and tried and had success with all the ways. So I hope that this podcast was helpful and I can't wait to see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.